Is it recording? Yeah, it's already recording.
All right, thanks.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, that's at 11:10 a.m.
11:10?
Yeah. And that goes, it's supposed to go until 1. But it's a lot of that one's going to be like a question and answer session of, you know, the librarians talking about what they think the students need in law firms and then answering questions about that.
Maybe 2 hours?
Yeah, that's what it's scheduled for. I'm sure you could come in and out, though, if you can't take a little time.
I find it from 6 to 8. And I came last Wednesday, and I was late, and I just went by. Oh, my God. I still have a half an hour. And when I came here, nobody was, in the classroom.
Yeah.
The students who called me, nobody showed up, so they go.
Oh, no one showed up that day?
Yeah. I mean, from students, and they stood, I don't know who came, but stood, wait, and after that, of course, go back, whoever it is. I was so sad. Because I came especially for this, but I was late, of course.
Yeah, the one that was on Wednesday last week, they're doing it again tomorrow also. It's
tomorrow.
Yeah, 4:10.
4:10 to 5.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that one might also be put on the podcast. The audio will be put online if they record it tomorrow. Yeah, and I think that's a good one to go to.
So I can go online and listen online?
Yeah, hopefully. They haven't coordinated. They're supposed to record one session for each one, but it hasn't been coordinated perfectly, so I don't know if they'll have all of them. So they might not have that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
But last Tuesday was recorded, then.
I don't.
I was in a class.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. It's very useful. I had to do an independent study.
Oh.
And it's the first, I mean, not in my life, I made before, but not in this system. And I made a lot of. One in French, two in Romanian, and this one, I mean, this is a present study in English. Gives me headaches. I don't know how to put together everything.
Yeah, I'm sure it's.
And words, it's different. It's
I'm sure
different.
It's confusing.
It's common law, common law.
Yeah.
Napoleon law, civil law, it's different. And now, interesting for me to find out how to find things to put together now.
Yeah, one of, a librarian that I know at Columbia's law school. She's Romanian. She came here and worked as an attorney for a while, and then decided to be a librarian there. Yeah. Donna Nakshu.
Donna Nakshu.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very Romanian name.
Yeah.
And where is she?
She works at Columbia Law School.
Columbia Law School?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, here is spelled N-E-A-C-S-U. Young, or she's, I don't know, maybe about 40, I would guess. I'm not sure, though. First, I'll just say that the handout I gave you and these PowerPoint slides are available on TWEN for like anyone who wants to download the slides, and or if you know anyone who might want it. Also, this session's it's being audio recorded, so the audio is going to go up on the website. Just fair warning, but. There will be part at the end where if you guys have any specific questions, feel free, feel at least as free to ask them as you would have otherwise, because I'm sure there's not going to be like thousands of people listening to it. And yeah, the other ones are going to, I don't know if they'll be on TWEN or just like on our library's homepage. I think they might just be on the library homepage after they get the files done and set it up. But I don't expect this is going to take up the full 50 minutes. So at the end, if you guys have any like specific questions about research problems that you've been having or skills that I didn't cover that you have questions about, feel free to ask. This is one of our top 10 research skills workshops from a little list of things that law firms said they'd like new attorneys to know. This one's on smart searching, which is basically just some like tips and tricks to make your searching more efficient and save you some time. There's another one, strategic searching, which I'd recommend. They're doing that tomorrow at 4:10, which kind of lays out how to set up a strategy for your search and and the process that you want to set out for yourself. That one, I don't know if that's going to end up being recorded or not, but Trisha's doing that tomorrow. I'm David. I'm one of the reference librarians here. And okay, so when you start out looking for anything online, there's just a couple basic things that you want to ask yourself at first, and that's the most basic one is what are you looking for? I mean, what kind of document is it? Because a big tendency that a lot of people have is they do the same thing every time. You know, like people will like just go into Westlaw and kind of poke around and hope that what they're looking for is there, but you know, not everything is there, or they have one way of doing something, and you got to go to the place where what you're looking for is going to be. And you know, then also, are you looking for? Do you know what you're looking for? Is it something you've heard about that you know exists, or are you kind of like trying to see what's out there on the topic that you're researching? And obviously, what do you know about it? Like any bit of information that you have already about what you're looking for can be helpful too. Like I mentioned, everything isn't on Westlaw or Lexis. And then people are surprised to find out that everything's not on Google as well. Although, you know, I guess it seems that way sometimes. It's not true. An example of something that's not on Westlaw or Lexis would be, if you were writing a research paper on the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board, and you had heard or you hoped that a Congressional Research Service paper exists to kind of boil down the issues for you. If you go on Westlaw or Lexis, it's not there. The most CRS reports aren't there because of the way these are sent out, and just they've decided not to have them. There's not really a lot of good repositories for them until very recently. So if you just, instead of going into Westlaw or Lexis to find this, if you just Google CRS, Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board, the first hit will take you right here to this OpenCRS database that has a CRS report in there. Now, another way you could have found the OpenCRS is by just going to finding a research guide that tells you where to find CRS reports. That would have been probably one of the first choices on a research guide, is OpenCRS. And, okay, now, like I said, everything's not on Google. Here's an example of something that's not on Google or Westlaw and Lexis, and that's if you're looking for an article, but all you have is the title of it. It's this concerning justice court jury in Replevin cases. Now, if you search that on Google, I put it in quotes. Nothing came up, but even if you didn't, you're not going to find it there. You search in Westlaw or Lexis, journals and law reviews, nothing. And that's because, you see here, here's the record of it from Hine Online. It's from 1870. And if you think about, like, why something's going to show up on Google, that'll be either because it's available on a website, the website of the journal, if you're talking about an article that has it, will have the article there itself, or table of contents. And so that's really only good for something back to like 99, 2000, or there's a case or an article that's freely available that cites to it. And so that's only going to be you know, very very famous articles or very recent ones. And so you don't have to kind of keep everything in your head about where to go all the time. Research, like I said, research guides are a great help because, like you see here on our library's page, we have some research guides. There's a very simple one called about finding articles. One of the first things that it says there is Lexis and Westlaw only have articles back to the mid or early 1980s. And then right below that it says Hein has articles going back to the beginning. And, you know, if you do like a very small bit of thinking about what you have, and you have a title of an article that's something like that concerning Justice Court jury and Replevin cases, you can kind of tell that's going to be a little older. It's before the 80s at least. You know, no one's going to put a title like that on something these days. So if you don't know the right place to start out, go to a research guide. Like I said, we have some on our library's page. I think there's about 20 or so. And this is that page here. They're organized by topic. And then also, there's this Cornell as a legal research engine, which's really a long link, but you can get it out of the PowerPoint slides. Or, you know, you can just look for the Cornell's legal research engine, where they have this feature here that if you put in your topic, it'll search only within research guides. Now, that's kind of a new thing that they have, so I'm not sure that it works as far as finding everything that's out there. Also, a very easy way to do it is if you have a topic, you Google research guide and your topic. Like here, I say you're looking for presidential signing statements. Signing statements, research guide. Two top hits are to research guides for presidential signing statements. Tell you where to get them, like, right away. Okay, and then if you are within Lexis and Westlaw, I'm sure this is something that you've heard in, like, Lexis and Westlaw sessions ad nauseum, but you got to choose the right database. Classic example is this, where you're looking for cases, and you just kind of go into the all cases database that has every case, even though that's not what's going to be relevant to the court that your case is in. Here you come up with about 550. Run the same search in New York cases, 27. So it obviously that one you can look at the results, the other one you can't. And how to choose a database in Westlaw or Lexis? In Westlaw, you should use the database directory, and that I'll show you what I mean by that, if anyone's not familiar with it. You don't need to do that in Lexis because it's basically already laid out in a directory format. And okay, so this is the way that it often normally comes up. It's like this, and it's not really helpful because if you go into any of these, it's just going to kind of like do that, and it doesn't really list everything. If you go click on the directory over there on the left, it gives you more of a way of going into things as though it was a tree outline, and you can be sure to find have an easier time finding what you need. Okay, and the eye icon, it's an eye in Lexus also. The symbol's a little different, but this thing next to where it tells you what the name of the database. If you click on that, it'll bring up a page that tells you everything that's in there. So it summarizes it. It tells you the dates of coverage, which can be especially important sometimes, and you know, often you see the name of something, and it's really not intuitive as to what's going to be in there. Also, if you're working at a firm and in a position where they want you to save some money on searches or spending time on Lexis and Westlaw, you can go to either of these directory links and just search through the databases to see if they have what you're looking for at all in there. You know, say maybe there's like a treatise like Nimmer on copyright or something, that you don't have it at your firm. You know you need to see a section of it, and your contract goes by the minute or by the hour. You'll save time online by finding and clicking straight through to it from here. All right, another thing that saves money, but I also think it often saves time, is if you have what article you're looking for, but you have incomplete information about it, is to go and get a citation just on the internet and then plug it into get a document on Westlaw or Lexis. So an example is, you're writing about fair use and market failure, and your professor or someone tells you, oh yeah, Wendy Gordon wrote the first major article on that, and it was, I don't know, 25, 30 years ago, something like that. And that's kind of all you have. Well, if you just Google Wendy Gordon fair use and market failure, actually right there on the second hit, right after her bio, it takes you to a page that has the article loaded onto it right there, and the reason that you know that it's probably going to do that is because you've been told that it's kind of a famous article. It's like there's going to be a lot of people talking about it, and so that means that it's going to come up at the top of the hit list on Google. In comparison, if you go into Westlaw and look for this, you have to kind of create a search string that's this complicated to make it come up right away, and you've wasted a little bit of time. And also, if you're in a firm situation where they're kind of on your back about the amount of money that you're spending online, it's cheaper to just pull the document out with the citation than it is to go searching for it. And then also, it doesn't come up right away at all if you do a natural language search in Westlaw, and that's because the natural language search is not constructed very well, and you know, it doesn't always get you what what you need, and there's as opposed to Google, there's not as many people using it to give them enough feedback to tell them what should be coming up at the top. You know, you'd think that this article should come up at the top, but it doesn't. It has some more recent things just because they're recent and there haven't been enough people looking for it. And the best example about how or why not to use natural language searching is because it will make you think that there are things there when there aren't. An example is if you, for some reason, are looking for a New York case that deals with pirates, doubloons, and tax consequences, you run a regular search for that, you'll realize there are no such cases. If you do a natural language search, you get 100 results. Because one of the words appeared within the case. All right, some tricks about finding cases. Some of you might be familiar with this, and some of you might not be. But if something that I feel like people ask me about maybe more than it should come up is people looking for cases that interpret a particular statute and a particular language from a statute, and then they'll go and like search for that language or run a search that has like the statute number and the language and kind of complicate things for themselves. What you really need to do is just go into, I prefer Lexis for this, and I'll show you why in a second. Go into Lexis, you have the statute number, so you go to get a document there, just put in the citation, pulls up the statute, and then you shepherdize that statute. So it brings up this list of every case that is cited the statute. And this is why I prefer Lexis for this more than Westlaw, is it will break it down by sections and subsections of the statute, whereas Westlaw will just give you kind of like, okay, these are all the cases that cited to the statute as a whole. And usually you're not looking at the statute as a whole, you're looking at one subsection of it that deals with your particular fact situation. And then if you still get too many or want to narrow things down even more, and also one nice feature of this is that you can narrow it to cases within particular jurisdictions, is this focus restrict by button here once you go into the Shepherd's report. And there's a similar thing in Lexis called like limit key site, where you can put in search terms and limit it to particular jurisdictions and dates. And obviously that's very helpful if you're doing a key site or Shepherd's for a case or a statute that has, you know, like 1,000 citations to it. Another thing about looking for cases is that digests are actually very very helpful. They do save people time. Like even the print digest, although I know from like first year legal research, it's I guess people have like kind of nightmares using those, but it does save you some time because you can go and just look in the index for your terms and flip right to the list of cases. And the National Digest system that West has, the numbers correspond into the key numbers in Westlaw. But the main reason I think that's faster than using the digest online is because if you're going and you don't know like what your subject is, what key number it is, and you open up this big tree, it just takes a long time to load. But if you have one case that's on point for your subject, or if you're able to find one case that's on point for your subject, you can just click on the head note number here that deals with your specific topic that you need this case for, and it's pretty much the same in Lexis also. And after you do that, it'll bring you to the screen where you can search for cases in a particular jurisdiction that deal with that topic. And I would suggest usually not putting in search terms as well, because you might just want to see how many things there are at first. Often there's not very many, especially if it's kind of an odd or very specific sort of topic. But I would say, you know, do something like that if you can before actually going and running a search within a case database, because these have already been indexed to have to say that they are all on point on the topic that you're looking for. And you know, if you run a search, you get like a lot of junk. Maybe a third of the things are actually good. I like to usually, if I can, save the searching until you're kind of dealing with things that have more to do with facts than law. Okay, just an overview of the terms and connectors in Lexis and Westlaw, and that's I didn't give you a handout with these, because if you go to run a search, they pop up right there on the screen. If you just open up a search screen, it's all right down here. But and you know, you can click on that and put them in there if you don't actually want to type them out for some reason. But these are the most important ones. There's other ones that you can use. You're probably not gonna. I would be surprised if you ever need to use anything more complicated than this. The most important ones are the quotation marks around any exact phrase, and you use that in Google too, which can be very helpful for you. The exclamation mark as a root expander is important, because sometimes you forget that you're working with a derivative of a word, basically, that's going to show up in, five different forms. But you don't need to worry about that for plurals with S. It does that automatically. Slash S is words within the same sentence. Slash P, within the same paragraph. Slash a number puts, any two words within that number of each other. You should use a slash 3 for names, because you don't know how names are going to come out. First name or last name is going to be first, or if there's going to be a middle initial. I like to often, instead of using like a slash S or a slash P, use within 10 or 15 of each other, because sometimes you don't really know where they're going to put a period or where a paragraph's going to end. And just generally, for when you're coming up with your search sentence or the you know, what are you going to put in for your search terms? You want to start with something that you think is maybe a little broader, so that you can narrow it down, because sometimes you'll be surprised that you do something that you think will be exactly what you need, and pretty narrow, and there's like barely anything. So it makes it easier on yourself if you start a little broader, and then, so if you do one that's broad and you end up with like 25 things, you can look at all of those. But if you do one that's like you think is exactly right and you only come up with 3 things, you might need to expand it out then. And come up with a search sentence as simple as you can probably, as you think you can do it for the subject that you're doing. Because, you know, if you put in like 5 different elements in there, you're going to end up confusing yourself. They might start conflicting with each other. It's, you might feel pretty smart about it, but it can be a mess. And, you know, like for instance, the and not to exclude certain words, only use something like that if you really have to. Field searching, however, can be pretty important. Obviously, for looking for articles, you can bring up title and author, and you know, that's really helpful. Here is one just for cases, and you know, you pop this thing up. Sometimes you might know the judge that decided the case, or an attorney that you might be searching by an attorney that was involved, or you might have been told it was that what you're looking for was actually in a dissenting opinion, or you know, there's more of these things come up once you're in practice too, especially as far as looking at particular judges and attorneys. Okay, and then this next thing is just about how to use Google to be able to make search within any website. And so the example is that you're looking for a Chinese case that had something to do with illegal copying of Police Academy, and because you know you saw something about it, about people getting busted related to this in the news, and you're doing a study of transnational copyright enforcement or something like that, but you go poking around, read a research guide, and you figure out that actually one of the only places you can find Chinese intellectual property cases in English is on this judge's website, because there's just not that much out there, but they're all just listed. There's no search box on the site. Even if there was, you might not trust it. So if you just go to Google and then click on Advanced Search, and you take the domain name of that website, you put it down here in the domain box, and you can put your search terms up here at the top where it says what do you want to search by. And I did that. I went to this, I put that website in there, I searched for Police Academy, it came up, they were illegally copying Police Academy 5 and 6 and all these other movies that no one's really going to want to buy anymore. But I know that's kind of like an esoteric example, but a way that you might want to, you or that I find myself using that sometimes is for like federal and state agency websites where they have like the administrative decisions online, but there's just no way to find the exact one that you want. Okay, so just basically to summarize, you'll save yourself a lot of time in the long run by strategizing a little bit beforehand. You don't have to take too long, but just kind of think through what you're going to do a little bit instead of diving directly into it. And if you don't, remember not to spend too long searching for any one thing. If you've spent like more than 15 or 20 minutes looking for something, maybe rethink what you're doing and, you know, ask a librarian for help either here or at your law firm, or call the support of Westlaw or Lexis. And, you know, also just be calm when you're looking for something. Even if your boss has you on a tight deadline, because when you start getting into like a panicked thought process, you can end up spending a lot longer looking for something because you get too locked into it and you can't really take a step back and see everything that's going on that you're doing. Do you guys have any questions? All right. Thanks.
Sure. I wonder if there's just a gathering or
usually some keynote that is related to it. But, so, like, I mean, the first thing I would say is, are any of the cases that are cited in the articles, do those look like, you know, they mentioned, like, this happened in that case, do any of those sound like they would be good for you? Are you trying to find new cases that no one's really talked about yet? Use, like, five as examples or something.
Actually, when I, for the example of they give me cases with correlation, scope of risk, but nothing from the exposure cases. After that, they gave toxic exposure cases, but not talking about the organization and scope of risk. So I was kind of lost. I tried to read one by one, you know, which every article which I got it, from hundreds. But at the end, and I made this research for a week, not 10 minutes, and 2 hours a day, and I said, oh my god, I think I'm in a wrong track. I still don't have an idea of what,
What's that?
I didn't go on custom digest at all.
It can be, I don't know if this is going to be the most, this is going to be a good thing to do. Let's see. You already have so you've already seen books about it.
No. I find cases, other cases and articles.
Yeah.
And I print them out, all of them.
Yeah.
But when I start to read, I realize that not even a small part of them are useful.
Oh, even the articles too?
Kind of, just a small part of the articles, not just a phrase or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I thought it would take me to the, I guess the home page on this computer isn't set up, is all. So that would just go right here. Now, I don't think Googling that will get, it's really only if you know, like, there's some article or something about what you're doing. Might be good, or I just went to the catalog.
Catalog.
Mm-hmm. And I just searched toxic quotes. I don't, this one might be too broad, I don't know, just explaining the, kind of like giving a broad explanation of the law. I can't tell, it might go more into depth though. That's not going to be good. It's just where most of the books are, like the normal stats, yeah.
She told me that attorney will go there first. Because under instruction, she told me, but she told me at the end of the semester after my paper was already done, but she advised me that I should go there if I have a topic and I don't know what to take.
Yeah, I don't...
Really, I felt lost under instruction.
Yeah, I don't... I haven't heard that, but I... You know, I've never tried a full case, so I, you know, maybe it's something that, that people do. I would say normally go to either a major book on the subject is always good. If there's like there's one that people think is like a good, like the good book or the one or two of the good thing. Good books that are on your subject, and a digest, which is you probably used it in legal writing.
Yeah.
Just go to the index and take you to cases, but also encyclopedias are good. I would say try American Law Reports first, but those I think are a little longer, but that can be good. They just don't have it on every topic, and then try American Jurisprudence. So, I think ALR, American Law Reports, might... One of them is supposed to, they say, has more federal cases. I think that's it.
Yeah, I think it's better to go with the book, the real book. Because on Westlaw, I try ALR, but I end up with a list, and I don't mind them.
I think go to the book, and then if you see the like the section from the book that you need, you can get it on Westlaw then.
Uh-huh.
And then I think there is also a way to, let me see it, but I think there is an easier way to look in that. No, it's not good. Yeah, it makes you just search through there, and yeah, that'll be. I don't know if that'll come up with anything. Okay, amateur, you can look at the table of contents here. Oh, but you can't search in it. Can you? No.
Okay. You know,
oh, now you can. No, it's all right. Yeah, or if you can just maybe leave the computer on for another second. Or you
well, like that's what I'm saying. Do you need another minute with it? Because I'll just leave it here.
Yeah, actually, is that all right?
What?
For like two.